Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Done.
We're back from recess. Court is in session. Mm-hmm. Jake, take it away. Let's
not dilly dally.
Top.
No dilly dally. You don't want any bit of sheep's fur, a little bit of goose down. No,
none.
Just want to get right into it. No vamping.
Right
vamping
into
whatsoever.
It. Absolutely zero vamping.
Okay. Retracting the vampire fangs. Start the episode.
In 3, 2, 1. Emily, anything to add, or should I just go right ahead?
Just start, dude.
Hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding.
Mm-hmm.
Our first case comes from Robert S. To the Cromulent Justices Brian Murph Murphy, Emily Wifeworm Axford, Caldwell Flip a DVD Tanner, and the unsung bailiff Jake the Cake Hurwitz.
I present
the case.
I will say, as soon as this person said flip a DVD, I felt like a twitch of anger in my body. it was like unintentional murderous rage I called.
Murph. Wait, Murph, is it too late to change my Gangs of Glitter on character's name? I want to be flip a DVD.
You shoot DVDs out of your chest.
That would be,
that would make more sense than flipping DVDs on this show.
I'm a tiny gnome named Flip a DVD.
Yeah.
Okay. That actually isn't bad.
That's not bad.
I present the case of the slime of the century.
Yeah.
This happened nearly 9 years ago.
Whoa.
But I am still a bit salty.
Okay.
My older brother was DMing for me and my friends in 9th grade, and we were all very new to the game. Our party consisted of my generic human rogue, a dragonborn sorcerer, a paladin based on DJ Khaled, and Shrek, a half-orc barbarian flavored as an ogre.
Yeah.
In our third session, we were tasked with escorting the 7 dwarves on a mining trip where we encountered 2 gelatinous cubes.
Okay.
Things.
What the fuck is this campaign?
It's a postmodern pastiche.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously, if Shrek is there, it's kind of like a send up of the fantasy tropes.
Sure.
Also, postmodernism is kind of nostalgic at this
point. I guess
point,
this. I guess if we're I guess Shrek is like the least absurd thing about this, because the 7 dwarves would be in Shrek. Go on, Jake.
You make a good point, DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled. Things quickly went south. I found myself with the rest of the party stuck in a cube and several dwarves dead.
Oh.
Our DM told us that we could try to succeed a skill check before an attack to do double damage. Desperate, I got the remaining dwarves to form a ramp so I could do an acrobatics check over the cube to do extra damage.
Awesome.
I failed and fell in.
Awesome as well.
My dumbassery ended up having one of the party members being spit out, which resulted in the rest of my party surviving, but my character being quickly dissolved.
Mm.
After the session, I looked up the stat block for gelatinous cubes and found they had a challenge rating of 2, meaning this was a very deadly encounter.
Mm.
I questioned my brother about why he made the encounter so deadly, and he said because the cubes are so slow. He expected us to attack with ranged attacks.
That's so funny to be like, okay, this challenge rating, though, I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at how slow they are.
First, yeah. You could just run away.
These guys are in 9th grade. They'll figure it out.
They know geometry. They're fine.
He expected us to attack with ranged attacks and keep out of the cube's range. He pointed out that he showed us the stat block when our sorcerer rolled a nat 20 looking for a weak point on the cube.
Whoa.
And that we had the dwarves continue to mine instead of fighting, even though they had commoner stats.
Okay.
Was I right to be upset at my brother for giving us such a deadly encounter, or was my PC's death the fault of our lack of strategy and my dumbassery? I wait your righteous judgment.
I'm kind of on the brother's side here.
We also don't know what player Robert was playing. If you were the DJ Khaled player.
What if Shrek died? Shrek ties this whole thing together.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the thing is, though, like, your brother was also homebrewing things to make you guys better, too. Like, you got to do skill checks to try to do more damage and everything.
The DM was doing backflips.
And then you also had, you know, obviously the dwarves have, like, commoner stats, which, like, really, those dwarves are, they should be pretty strong. They should have better stats than that. Yeah. Come on now, Grumpy. I mean, when he folds his, when you see a t-shirt and it says, I'm here at Disney World because I'm grumpy, then you're like, oh my God, this guy's a badass.
Wait, people wear that shirt?
It's way more clever than that. It'll be like, my faces throughout the day. It'd be like, or like, it'd be like mood board, and they'll just be like grumpy like 17 times, and it'll be like, I'm grumpy. It'll be like a 65-year-old boomer that like looks super pissed off.
I like there. Mood board with just a bunch of grumpy faces.
That's really good. Yeah,
that's
no
good.
Doubt that exists.
I think mine would be like stay grumpy, my friends, or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, mm. And it's grumpy, ooh. But mm-hmm. as the most interesting man
in yeah. the world. Yeah.
Someone is selling that on Etsy right now and making a killing.
They're retired to Turks and Caicos.
Yeah, because if you're a cool dad at Disney World, right. then of course you have a Darth Vader shirt on. Right?
Yeah.
But then once you World's age out father. Of that, mm-hmm. when you age out of that, you switch to a grumpy shirt.
You switch okay. to a grumpy shirt or something referencing how much alcohol you drink.
Oh, oh yeah.
That's
good.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Oh,
yeah. Or right. you can do that when yeah. you're
all this alcohol yeah, is making all. Me sleepy.
And then oh, and then it's a picture of sleepy?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Dude.
God. Jake, you can retire now.
Jake, open a fucking Etsy store.
Me and Emily, ideally, actually.
Yeah. You're set. Yeah, but apparently they mm-hmm. so they had the dwarves mining, but they could have been fighting. I think okay. seven okay. commoners and you being able to like jump off of ramps onto the gelatinous so, cube, you guys could have won this fight.
I've never had like a DM be like, here's the stat block.
Yeah, yeah they like gave you the stat
it's
block.
It's a fun way to reward a nat 20, but I'm trying yeah. to think if I would be clever enough in the moment though to be like, ah, I clocked its speed is slow.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, you would at least know like, okay, the AC is 6. We should be able to hit this thing.
Oh, the AC is 6?
Yeah, they have a very low AC because it's just a big old gelatinous cube.
Yeah.
Is there a punishment for hitting it with a melee?
You get sucked into it, right? Or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
it's going to try to absorb
all right,
you.
I'm going to read gelatinous cube. All right, no joke. 63 HP is tough. Ooh. Did they say these guys were like level 1?
They say third session, so they're probably still level 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, no, this is tough. All right, so the
what happens when you hit with a melee attack? Is there a punishment for hitting with a melee attack?
No, I think it's like
are they resistant to DJ Khaled?
We do have Khaled resistance, but they are susceptible to Shreks.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So all right, so they have actions, two actions. Mm-hmm. Pseudopod is one. It's just a +4 to hit, and then it hits for 12, 3d6 +2 acid damage.
Whoa, that's a lot of damage.
12 yeah. damage at level 1. Yeah, the pseudopod can just take you out.
Yeah.
And then the other move it has is engulf. The cube moves up to its speed without provoking opportunity attacks. Speed is 15.
Mm-hmm.
The cube can
15
move.
Is actually, I thought it was going to be like 5 yeah. feet. 15 is pretty significant.
Yeah, well, you can just kind of get out of the way. Its reach is also only 5, mm-hmm. 5
but I guess
feet.
If you are a fighter and you don't have ranged weapons, then maybe okay. if you're like up in there, like trying to slash at it, then you're done.
All yeah. right. So the cube moves at its speed without provoking opportunity attacks. Cube can move through spaces of larger, smaller creatures if it has room inside itself to contain them. See the ooze cube trait. Dex saving throw. DC 12. Each creature whose space the cube enters for the first time during this move. Failure, you take 3d6 acid damage and the target is engulfed. Engulf target is suffocating. Can't cast spells with a verbal component. It has a restrained condition and takes 10 aka 3d6 acid damage at yeah. the start of each of its turns. When the cube moves, the engulfed target moves within it. An engulfed target can try to escape by making a DC 12 strength athletics check.
Okay,
on a successful
the
check,
worst.
They escape. Success, half damage, and it moves to an unoccupied space. Basically gets pushed.
Yeah.
So this is a really tough fight, but I will say
there were two of them. There were two of those cubes.
Whoa.
I believe
that's
they said,
really,
right?
But there were
hard.
7 dwarves.
It's true.
Too true. The dwarves, yeah, they're going to kill all the dwarves.
And it sounds like they went for the dwarves first.
Yes. Which, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
That's pretty, I mean, that's a lot of hit points.
Right.
And if they are level 1, you get killed if you just get engulfed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing sounds like a mess because we're starting off with... Like it's DJ Khaled and Shrek.
That's what it does to me.
Honestly, your yeah. brother kind of gave you the campaign that DJ Khaled and Shrek
yeah.
would be in.
He took the level of care that you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking at this, yeah, you're expecting the characters to do, even with like bows or whatever, if they're like level 1 or 2, to kill 2 gelatinous cubes, it'd be 126 damage.
This is like a final boss fight for level 1 characters.
Yeah, it's so fucking hard. If there were just one, mm-hmm. I would actually fully be on the brother side, because I'm like, I'm giving you the stat block. Like, mm-hmm. you can see what this thing can do. And also, I'm giving you, like, essentially trick shots. You can have death be on the table. So you can have characters show up and there just be overpowered challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. If you think about this, it depends on kind of how this was set up. Because if they're, like, forced into a fight with a gelatinous cube, it sucks.
Yeah.
But every world has overpowered stuff that the characters could interact with. Like, if you guys are level one, like, leaving a castle, and I'm like, you guys see these, like, elite guards walk by, and then you're like, I try to stab one, mm-hmm. it'd be like, well, your character's gonna end up in a fight with, like, a challenge rating 5 dude.
Yeah. And that's kind of fun. It's, like, fun for there to be overpowered things, or, so, like, relatively overpowered.
Yeah,
things.
So that stuff should exist in the world. The mm-hmm. problem is if it's just, like, presented as, like, you're going across this bridge to this area you need to do, and up, you get attacked by 2 gelatinous cubes.
It's true. They might have gotten pincered by the cubes. We don't know. They, okay. But on either side. I think that we have to punish this DM, because, like, they were trying their best, but they came down a little hard, and I think they have to wear a shirt that says, not as dopey as I look.
Wow. Okay, but they are as dopey as they look.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what makes this egregious is the 2 gelatinous cubes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One, maybe I think, is fine. I think one would have been fine, but 2.
Yeah.
2 is too much.
You're lucky your brother put 2 gelatinous cubes in this, because otherwise I was going to rule with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this, yeah. Okay.
So they just need to wear a gimmicky,
let's
dopey
come up with
shirt.
The sweetest dopey shirt.
Okay.
Like, so okay. sick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so
Dopey, but I'm working on it
is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he's like in the mines. Dopey in a dangerous mind.
Right.
Yeah. It's like an upsetting
dopey
shirt. You
but
look
I'm
at it and you're like, that mine is gonna collapse.
Yeah.
The miners haven't gotten to unionize.
Oh yeah.
And Dopey is like imminently gonna
dangerous
die.
Dangerous working conditions. Mm-hmm.
Dopey, but I'm working.
Right, Dopey has black lung.
Yeah,
Dopey but I'm working on it.
He's about to, like, hit himself in the ass with his pick or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dopey, because I'm picking my ass. And he has a pick, like, swung back so far that it's in his ass. And you have to wear that to Disney World. And get in trouble
or,
at
wait,
the
wait, wait, wait. Wait, wait, wait. Dopey, because I'm picking my axe.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dopey, because I'm picking my axe. And
because that's family friendly.
Yeah.
That's family friendly.
Right.
But you have the same picture, so it summons that thought, but it's family friendly.
Yeah. And you have to try and get the 7 dwarves to kick you out, which they will do if you catch mm-hmm. them there.
Oh, and you have to wear a hat that says, my t-shirt is not a joke.
There's no jokey dwarf.
There's no...
Wait, but what
Dopey
if you
Dopey is Dopey, but he's not joking.
You could be like, getting away from Dopey, you could just wear a hat that says, my t-shirt is not a joke, but then wear a shirt that says, my hat is a joke.
I like picking my ass.
Malfunctioning.
I like Dopey because I'm picking my ass.
On the back it says, hey, don't take my hat seriously.
Nothing bashful about that, folks.
Yeah, I think we can say that on the back of the Dopey picking my axe shirt.
Okay, cool. We'll put that up in the store. Click it.
Yeah.
So ordered. Am I right?
Wow. There it is.
Oh my God.
Our next case comes from anonymously to my beloved Ooh. Justices Axford, Murphy, and Caldwell and their Aww. Interesting pet bailiff, Jake.
Wow.
This is barely, Jake is in the garage. This is barely D&D related, but y'all are the only ones I trust.
Okay.
I've been seeing this guy for like 18 months. He's a proud DM who currently has 3 games going, 2
wow.
of which started after we started dating. And yet there is never space for me in his games? Question mark.
Whoa.
Oh. Ooh.
But 2 of his ex-girlfriends are in these games. He said I just wouldn't fit in his normal group, but he
what
wishes I was
fuck?
In a game and keeps toying with me, pitching
what?
For games that never happen. Am I wrong to be jealous? Is this a red flag?
Oh, this is a huge red flag.
Big old red flag.
It is really so weird. Okay.
Flapping.
It's possible, though, we've had so many. Let's just step outside uh-huh. the normal accusations. And we've had lots of cases where someone's like, they're giving their girlfriend preferential treatment.
Mm.
Is it possible that this DM is just like, I don't want to freaking deal with that?
I think.
It's very generous.
So. There's a world where having like exes at the table and not letting your current girlfriend play is weird for sure.
Suspicious.
Yeah.
That's weird. I would say there's a world where if this was less messy and it was just like they play three games a week or whatever. If this DM was like, hey, this is kind of my thing. I want this to be my own thing separate from the relationship or something like that. There were no exes involved or anything like that. Because it is weird that like this person changed the rules once they started dating you, because they clearly used to be okay with dating people and playing with them, which is weird.
Also, so you clearly want to play D&D because you're listening to D&D Courtin, right?
Yeah. So there's a world where I could have been like, okay, I obviously not how I run things, but if someone was like, I want this to be my thing, I go and do this, and then we do other stuff together, but this is my thing. If that's how it was, but the fact that he's like teasing you, saying the excuse you wouldn't fit in at the table,
that feels really weird.
Yeah. Well, because everyone else is my ex-girlfriend and you're my current girlfriend. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense, right?
It's also like, in my head, I was like, well, maybe they don't want to introduce a girlfriend into a campaign because then will the campaign fall apart if they fall apart? But they have exes in their campaign. Right, so they clearly can DM for exes.
Well, yeah, maybe they're like, I can't do three exes. I can't do three exes in these campaigns.
But also they started after they got together.
The excuses are worse than the actual playing without them. In my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really weird to be like, I mean, that's even weird outside of D&D to just be like, you can't hang out with my friends. Essentially, my friends wouldn't like you. It's so weird.
Yeah, I think the flag is red.
The flag is honestly so red. And I think you should break up.
I would ask for a really solid explanation and beyond you wouldn't fit in because...
Yeah.
Hey. I think you're underreacting, honestly.
I don't want to tell you to overreact.
No, you're underreacting.
We're not here to give relationship advice. We are here to punish this boy.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know everybody's situation. So like far be it from me to try to give relationship advice.
There are people out there that are friends with exes. I heard people can do that.
But that's not the problem. The problem is being like, I'm going and hanging out with other people. You wouldn't really fit
in. Yeah.
Take exes out of it. It's still weird.
I think that the only reason that the exes come into context is like, oh, well, the excuse like, well, I don't want to get you involved in a campaign if something goes wrong because then we couldn't keep playing because it's like, well, no, obviously you can play with exes. Yeah, yeah. So that's not the excuse.
That evaporates.
Yeah. If you were just like, I play with all my hometown friends or something like that. And it's just like, sorry, this is just kind of me and my friends from high school. This is our thing or something like that. That's way different than being like, sorry, you're just not in this group of friends, even though
also,
we're in a relationship.
You've been dating for 18 months. If this was like 3 months, you're like, I don't want to, we're not going to get right into the D&D campaign because we're seeing how things are going.
Right.
I've been dating a year and a half.
Yeah. I feel so bad for you, just like, especially because two of these games started after you guys were together. Just
weird.
Like hearing about that, being like, oh, a new one started. Yeah. I'd really love to get in on the next one. Yeah. Oh, the next one started? Keep me in mind for the next. You shouldn't be auditioning to play for your boyfriend's table.
And he's not doing a fourth game.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough ex-girlfriends to make up a new table.
Yeah.
All my exes can cast hexes.
Yeah. Wait, but if you guys break up, though, you have a better chance of playing at one of
the
tables.
Okay. I would encourage you to be like, okay, is being an ex what it takes to be at your table? Because guess what? You just got fucking done.
Scott Pilgrim
I rolled
situation.
A new character and I don't want to see you anymore. Except at D&D.
Yeah, Fridays at 7.
I would, my advice would be to not think of this as like, because, you know, you're bringing this to D&D court. Think of this outside of D&D and just be like, how would you feel if someone was just like, I have this group of friends, you wouldn't fit in hanging out with them.
But I love to be around them.
Imagine they're going to bar trivia instead of playing D&D.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't
you wouldn't be cool with that.
Yeah, this is very weird. I wish you the best. I think you can be a little harsher, honestly.
Yeah.
I know we will be. Let's go ahead and sentence this.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, got to come up with which of the dwarves.
All right, you got...
I mean, he's kind of being shifty.
He's
definitely not bashful, tell you what.
Okay. Let's just have all of the names of the dwarves up, so we have him.
Okay.
Right. He's definitely being dopey, but he's also being manipulative, which is not a dwarf, but
which is kind of Doc.
It's kind of Doc. Doc is cool though. Doc is not
right. Yeah,
this is like dark. We could get like
okay, Doc. Grumpy.
I think I'm bashful, but I'm actually Doc.
Ooh. But Doc is cool. No, that's not Doc. Doc has the potential to be manipulative because he's smart, but he isn't. So I think he's grumpy and he's dopey. He's both.
Yeah. What about Sneezy? What are the other ones? Sneezy.
Sneezy. Okay. Sneezy. Doc, grumpy, happy, sleepy, bashful, sneezy, and dopey. I think Doc and Happy are living good lives. So I think we don't want to add
that. Yeah, we don't want him to be happy.
Okay, so it's
I think he's being grumpy and bashful.
Yeah, okay. So we say, okay, so it's a shirt, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it says, I'm a bashful grump and I sneeze because I'm dopey.
okay.
The other three dwarves are fine and they're not me.
Or it could just be like really big, a really big picture of bashful. And then on the top, like as a rainbow above it, it says, I'm bashful. And then in small print, it says, about inviting my girlfriend to a
That's pretty good. Yeah. Except my only note is that I think it should not be small print. I think it should be massive.
Yeah.
Print.
Okay. Mad. Okay.
The shirt should massive. Be long because of how long and the
it
print
be
is.
Right. It should go down to your knees.
It should be sleeveless too.
Sleeveless and long.
Sleeveless.
So nightgown.
It's a nightgown. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tunic.
It's a Flintstone tunic.
Okay. Fun around the house.
We sense your boyfriend to wear a tunic Fred Flintstone outfit in front of his ex girlfriends during D&D night. Should be fine. Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Theo England. Hey guys, help. Jake, I would love decaf two sugars. Okay. Bad coffee order, honestly.
Yeah.
So I DM'd an all-day one-shot for my birthday with some friends who hadn't played before. It was going great until the last hour or two when I could tell people were getting ready to go.
Mm.
One of my players even got up and sat on the couch in the other room and just rolled in there and told us his rolls through the door.
No.
Whoa. My question, am I right to be frustrated at their boredom, or are my players right to be bored after 5 hours of D&D? How can I spice things up?
I think maybe just like know for the future that like they're good after a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say the rules go out the window a little bit when you're doing like long marathon sessions. Cause I know we used to do like cabin weekends where we would do like home games. And it was like when it got late at night, there would be people that were like tired that would literally be like laying on the couch while the rest of us were at the table and would be like, I hide or something like that. Like
though
they would
kind of
chime in.
I will say that friend sounds like they were making a statement.
Yeah, because they were just like through a closed door. That's weird.
Yeah. In another room is rough.
And another room is another different.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You can be on a couch and still kind of like listening and engaged.
Totally.
Maybe even more so than like some people are at the table on their phone or something.
Yeah.
So it is all about like the attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you're noticing people dropping off and then you're still playing for 2 more hours, you have to almost expect that's going to happen.
Well, I think you don't even need to take it personally. You're saying like, what do I do to spice things up? I think just not everyone has like the desire to play for 5 hours.
Totally.
That's what it comes down to.
So sometimes people you got to meet people where they are.
And it's impossible to like fake enthusiasm for that long. So if they are kind of bored, especially with what did they say it was a one shot or did they just say it was just a marathon session?
It was a one shot for their birthday.
For their birthday.
Yeah. So the birthday.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours is a long time.
5 hours is a long time, but you should suck it up for your friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but at the same time, I guess.
Well, we don't know which birthday it was.
We've weighed in on birthdays a lot.
A way that was very unpopular.
If it was 28, then that's not a big day. It's not a big day.
People were pretty mad at us about how little we care about birthdays. Well, they were just like, they just thought it was crazy that like we don't really like to celebrate. I don't know. It's not that we don't celebrate birthdays. People have birthday parties, but like I fully don't care when it's my birthday.
Sure.
Like I just turned 40 and did nothing.
Yeah.
I like to age. I just don't like to celebrate my birthday because it's just I don't like that energy.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like that attention.
Calls attention to yourself. Like as an adult, it requires like some planning. And like also I think our conversation was mostly about like what the expectations
would be. Oh yeah. It was like you can't expect your friends to like throw you a party.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't even know.
Yeah, but we were in the right.
We said some controversial stuff. I don't remember.
Listen, if this is the hottest take our show comes out with, I'm fine with it.
remember. It was definitely much worse than. Yeah.
No,
just I saying your birthday. Your birthday is important.
It was you. Your birthday is you. Your problem. That was the controversial take.
Someone asked us a question recently that was like about like moments where we take it too far, and I do think I remember that us being like, haha, we shouldn't say this. Let's go as hard as we can.
Yeah, it was like post 25. Mm-hmm. You have to plan your own birthday party. I think somewhere in that range. It was like your birthday is your responsibility.
And I think this person, like, I don't know how old they are, but they have planned their own party.
Yeah.
They have like, and which to me suggests that maybe some of the people there are there for their friend and less because they love D&D.
Yeah. Again, let's take it out of D&D. So like, I like skating, right? Mm-hmm. So if I was like, I'm going to have a roller birthday party. Everybody come to Murph's roller birthday party at the roller rink, right?
Yeah.
I think I could rollerblade for 5 hours. I think most people would be mad at me.
You know what?
I would be I'm so bored and I hate this.
And by the way, I DM'd for my birthday with some friends who hadn't played before.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine you're doing the skating party with people who never even skated.
Can't skate. Yeah.
That's a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, you'll learn to skate by the end.
I'll give an analogy, which is that we had a birthday party forever ago for Murph that was playing Diablo, mm-hmm. and we played it all through the night, but not everyone stayed all through the night because not everyone wanted to,
right.
And that was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone had a different level of enthusiasm mm-hmm. and appetite for playing Diablo, and people just slowly petered out through the night, and that was built. That we knew that would happen.
Yeah,
and that was
started with 8 heroes of Sanctuary, ended with 4.
Wow,
yeah.
only 4 killed Bill.
So you don't have to spice anything up. You just have to expect that some people after 5 hours build will fade out.
It's a little rude to like just be in the other room with the door closed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to assume like some kind of layout in the house that makes sense, because I'm just imagining like a teenager in someone else's home. Like,
at that point, it's better to just say you have to go.
Yeah, tired. That's fine.
Yeah. I DM'd for some of my friends who have like young kids recently, mm-hmm. And like the 7-year-old clearly was just like not having it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought you meant like for your friends. So you DM for the kids.
Yes.
I thought you were gonna say I DM'd for my friends who have young kids and they kept getting up to take care of the baby, and I was like, well, yeah, you got to know your audience.
Exactly.
People with young kids, I guess you have to feed these things a little bit of time.
And I gave them like some withering looks when they got up to like feed their baby
again.
So I'll say with this, I think, you know, just because it's your birthday, and again, you know our opinions on birthdays, they're shit, they don't matter.
I'm kidding. Guys, picture Grumpy like in front of a birthday cake saying your birthday is your problem.
With a picture of Grumpy in front of it.
God.
Great t-shirt.
Caldwell, do you know how much you would have to change about Grumpy's likeness to not get sued?
That's great, because I think it has to be transformative is the rule for it to be parody.
Okay. Yeah.
And like Disney is, you know, famously litigious about this. I'm looking
at
a picture.
So what about putting a birthday hat on Grumpy? Would that be different enough?
Oh, that's definitely not.
That's
I made him spill.
I was so good he spilled so over. Hard, I spilled a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. It's fine.
Just a little bit on the electronics. Keep moving. We're fine. Let's keep plowing forward.
I don't think that would be enough though, because like Grumpy already wears a hat.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I think you would need to be like.
But we would be transforming.
Do you think like putting like a baseball cap on Sonic the Hedgehog means you can make a Sonic the Hedgehog
game?
It
better be, because otherwise my Etsy shop is going to be in a mountain of legal trouble.
Sonic in hats. Okay. So with the
you got to make him a Navi.
I think with 5 hours.
Yeah,
that's a really tough ask, and I it's hard for people to sit there like. We've watched a ton of like movies that like we had to watch for the show and everything, and like after like an hour there's episodes of shows we watch after 15 minutes where you're kind of like squirming.
Mm-hmm.
So if these people aren't D&D people, 5 hours is a huge ask. I will say very rude to like be like through like a closed door.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, because it's your birthday, we'll maybe give this just a mistrial, but I do think you shouldn't run 5-hour sessions for people who don't play D&D.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we want to just fully go in on this birthday person.
Also, like,
what do you guys think?
I don't want to. I also think
we don't
that,
want
like,
that birthday heat.
We got birthday heat before. We need to tread so carefully.
When when you were, if you're asking how do I spice things up, just think back to the session itself. And like, if you want to DM for this group again, think back to the moments that it seemed like they enjoyed the most and then try to do that more, because our advice to spice it up might not be what they're looking for if they aren't necessarily into just D&D.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think they were down for an hour, two, three maybe even.
Yeah.
But five was just too much.
Yeah.
There's no spicing it up. There's just cutting it.
Fatigue. It's just fatigue.
It's just fatigue. Yeah. And like also like knowing where to call it, that just means people are going to be hungry for more.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah. So we'll do the lightest punishment for you, which is to wear a t-shirt with Grumpy saying your birthday is your problem.
And again, to make it transformative, Grumpy is going to be a Navi.
Yeah. You don't have to change too much. Just add just a Navi a tail.
Yeah, Navi
and
tail,
you're good.
Blue.
Right, but still the Grumpy nose.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, this just because we're ruling this doesn't mean we're anything against birthdays. No. We're treading so carefully. Yeah. Your birthday is your problem.
We love that everybody has one.
Yeah. We think it's great.
Yeah, I do like that everyone has one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, so ordered. Our next case comes from Just Some Girl. To the ever honorable judges and ever deplorable bailiff, I present the case of the classic scheduling conundrum. While I'm very aware that scheduling conflicts are basically included in the book, one of my groups has been struggling to find a consistent time for our Daggerheart campaign. Ooh. What makes me write into you about it is that our DM has been getting more and more aggressive towards the players each time we have difficulty.
Okay.
So we have difficulty making our schedules work.
Elaborate.
This is the DM that only DMs for his exes. It's just a fucking fire
trolling.
I am desperate to know if we've ever read a case from one of the boyfriend's three campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
That this girl was not.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
Probably.
I would just like to add that Caldo spilled completely in my like area, and my like section of the table is soaking wet.
It really is.
Really, he made it sound like it was nothing.
It's just all right. It's actually, you know what? It's a great shape for like a continent.
Yeah, it does look like that.
It looks like there's a map on her.
I'd be like, the Empire. owns the island.
Hey, Murph, you're welcome.
Whoa,
you're welcome
that's
for that little gift.
That's actually a
take a picture. That's a good album art.
That's how I world build. Is I spill water
it is a perfect
and then
continent.
Build it from there.
I will take the tiny L for the huge W that is Murph's new continent.
W as in water.
Welcome to Murphopia.
Alskaboa.
Murphatopia. Had a civil war.
The civil war of the Magi.
There were seven nations named after the seven dwarves.
All was well until
Grumptopia, Grumptopia Bashtopia, Sleeptopia, Daktopia.
The bashful clerics in their high citadels, they did nothing.
Okay, is one of my players in the bashful group or not really?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. We've got 30 more pages of lore to get through.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it. What makes me writing to you about is our DM has been getting more aggressive towards the players each time we have difficulty making our schedules work. And I worry he is starting to, quote, scare the folks.
All of these maniac dudes.
I know.
I don't want to see this campaign fizzle, but I'm starting to fear it's fizzling due to his rude comments when we have life come up. So, okay, judges, I ask, my DM...
We didn't get any details. I need more details.
There's one PS where with one of the threats.
Uh-oh. I want the rude comments. I want examples of the aggression.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to kick each and every one of your asses if you're not available this Thursday.
He's sending so many grumpy gifts.
Yeah.
Is my DM in the wrong for being angry or grumpy at schedules? Or should we, as the players, try to be better about scheduling so he doesn't have to get passive aggressive? P.S. He started threatening to kill our in-game teacup pig companion if we couldn't find
what the
time.
Fuck?
I think that could be fun.
That
could be silly and fun.
Yeah, that's different than, okay, that actually throws a wrench into it. Because if you're just like, if people like keep canceling and stuff and you're just like, you know what, Pawpaw's dead. Like that's way different than me being like, what the fuck, guys?
Or you know even being passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess we'll never play.
Yeah.
I guess
all right,
we'll never
have a great summer then, everybody.
Yeah. That to me is way worse than being like, I'm going to kill your familiar.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a
joke.
That
feels like maybe a joke that is not.
It's just a joke, dude. We have to assume there's worse stuff than this and that they're being aggressive.
Yeah.
There's easy solves for this too. Like what we'll do in some of the home games I play for is like everyone will, like the DM will just list a bunch of different like dates that work for them, and everyone will like put a little heart on it, you know, using the little
you
know, the emojis you can throw on messages. And like the one with the most hearts is like, that works for everybody, so that's when we're gonna play.
Yeah, maybe I wonder if the DM is being like, everyone has to be there. Maybe if you guys had a conversation and said like, is there a world where we can do like the day that works for the most people and like figure out a fix, like maybe that would take pressure off everyone.
Yeah, I think you have to do a quorum effect.
That's happened to me before with home games where like I couldn't be there, and then it's so fun to find out like what your player did while you were gone.
So is that what they do? They play your character? Because
Usually, like either they'll play the character, they'll like kind of like group pilot it, or like the DM will just kind of make it a DMPC for an
episode. I think what I would do is I would be like, cool, you guys essentially have their stat block and can use it in battle.
Yeah, then, but otherwise don't make big decisions for them.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely get cases where that happens and then like the DM kills their character.
Yeah.
I think DM should just like wave it and just be like, you guys get attacked by a bunch of bandits and you see this person is fighting one-on-one with a bandit. Seems like they're going to take care of it, but it's going to be a tight fight. And you just don't roll for it. They're just fine. They're just off. I think you can just like describe it in like movie terms or something that they're like distracted or something like that.
Yeah, because I think that could be a good solution, because it sounds like I'm guessing the DM is getting frustrated because they're just excited to DM, which so rare to have that. So maybe coming up with a way that there's less pressure on everyone for scheduling.
Somebody might need to, in the same way that like sometimes there's like a note taker at the table, somebody might just need to be like the schedules are. Somebody might need to step into that role.
That's a brutal role.
it's a tough role. Heavy as the head.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I first heard this, I was like, okay, this DM is being a maniac. But if they're just making jokes about like the characters and stuff, then maybe they're, I don't know. But it also just might not be the crowd. Like it sounds like you're kind of put off by it and think other people might be put off by it. So you might also, you might also want to just like talk to your friend and just be like, hey, I think you're kind of freaking people out. Like you're bringing like a sort of harsh energy.
You're scaring us.
Yeah. Obviously, like life comes up and everything, as we all know from Click, like like life happens.
That was like forward. I opened up a streaming thing and it was like one of the top ones.
Click. Yeah. It's because of the name drop from us.
Well, I don't think that.
Get the ad pod bump.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about Click. What the fuck was I trying to say? Literally,
life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way. I was saying if everybody's busy, there's really no reason to get mad as a DM. It does suck when people cancel and you've worked a lot.
Yeah.
Like that is legitimately frustrating.
Right.
Not a reason to send like passive aggressive messages or anything like that. But again, if you're just joking about killing familiars, I personally think that's fine.
Reread the text and see if they're joking.
Yeah, reread the text.
Right, yeah.
Reread the text.
But we have to assume there's more than just that. Or, you know, again, other people might not be vibing with that. So
But are we doing like light punishment for the DM here?
Yeah, because I think you got it. We're taking it at face value. The texts are passive aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, because that text wasn't passive aggressive. That text was aggressive in a way.
The example was funny and aggressive, but I think the other ones that they wrote in about passive aggressive.
Unfunny and passive aggressive.
Interesting.
Okay, so I think we can punish this DM.
I mean, they're definitely a grumpy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's we'll design a t-shirt for them.
And not bashful at all.
Not bashful.
Mm-mm.
Okay, it says, I'm not, and then it's a picture of bashful. And then it says, but I am, picture of grumpy, about...
Okay, wait, we're stuck. We're fucking stuck in the Seven Dwarf mindset. We have to expand.
Okay.
We have to invent new dwarves for people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it's just like, maybe there's a dwarf that's like overworky or something like that.
Okay.
Or like, I'm sorry.
I don't like him.
Okay, just like dwarves for like every specific.
I was about to pitch tired, but that's sleepy.
That's sleepy,
For sure
sleepy. I'm saying like.
But sleepy has positive connotations. Yeah. Tired has like negative connotations.
What about
we do need sleepy and tired.
Okay, so what if
sleepy's cute.
Here we go. Okay, so it says I'm not, and then picture of sleepy.
Yeah.
I'm, and then a picture of a dwarf with bags under his eyes that looks super overworked. And then it doesn't say anything next to sleepy because we all know sleepy.
Right.
But then it says next to a picture of this new dwarf, there's parentheses that says tired. And then you put asterisk next to it and then asterisk in huge letters at the bottom of the t-shirt. This is tired. My OC dwarf who is like Sleepy, except also he's grumpy because he's so freaking tired.
What about Stressy? Right.
We already got it, dude. We okay. had it.
Just, like, so I feel like they all have like a name sort of like,
that fits I just
the
feel
y
like
mold.
We had it.
Okay.
We could just, or
and
we
now
could
we're
just...
getting sued.
Yeah.
Stressy was Stressy put
too
over
close.
The
shit. Yeah. Fuck. Starts with an S, ends with a Y, might as well be Sleepy.
Give him Shrek ears. Give him Shrek ears. It'll be fine.
Shrek ears, a birthday helmet.
Birthday helmet. That's an idea in and of itself.
Okay, ears that are knobby tails.
Wolf.
Okay, Wolf. Yeah, and that's what you're going to.
Just like two like Willie
Epcot
Nelson ponytails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this DM needs to go to Epcot Center with a helmet with a knobby tail on and a shirt that says "I'm not," and then picture of Sleepy.
Yeah,
I am picture of tired parentheses. My OC that is tired, not sleepy, because he doesn't sleep.
There you go.
This is airtight.
Sweet. Have a great trip.
Yeah.
Our next case comes from Joe H. To the Honorable Supreme Crit Justices and the dreaded lowly bailiff that shares my name.
Wow.
The name's Joe. We don't.
Yeah.
I bring to you a case.
Baleful.
I bring to you the case of the centipede that doesn't take opportunity attacks. I was playing a level 2 variant human paladin with the shield master feat, allowing me to bonus action shove enemies when I take the attack action.
Mm-hmm.
We were a party of three, with myself and the cleric being relatively tanky, protecting our squishy warlock, who was the DM's boyfriend, if that matters. We play with a full battle map slash grid, and the bonus action shoves had allowed our party to, dare I say, womp our DM with masterful positioning. The encounter in question was against a centipede-like thing that was only one size larger than me, allowing me to shove it off our warlock, who quickly scampered away. The stakes were all but gone, but the DM had it go for one last stab at the warlock. When I asked about an opportunity attack, he said this had an ability to negate that.
Ooh.
We were able to survive, and after the session, I asked my DM if it really had that feature, and he told me no. He just wanted to take one last stab and knew it was low HP.
Hmm.
Justices, I ask you, was it fair for my DM to ignore the rules in order to keep stakes high, or was this a case of a power-hungry man who was just unwilling to take the small L? P.S. We were later TPK'd in the same session, and I don't fault him at all for that. My only complaint for this night was the one described above.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know the answer because you said, do they really have that ability? And then they said, no, I just felt like taking one more stab.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I
that's
think,
deflating.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why as the DM you would say that, but I also don't know as the player, that's like asking your parents, like when you're 6 years old, if Santa Claus is real. Like they're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
you're ready.
Yeah.
Do you don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer.
You're not ready, but you're still gonna
But still, like, why would they just being like, oh, it just has an ability to negate an opportunity attack?
There are a lot of abilities that say this does not provoke opportunity attacks. There's like a decent amount of things that do say that.
Yeah,
certainly
right.
Not out of the realm of possibility.
This DM could have taken it to their grave, and instead they blew up the smoke and mirrors.
Wow.
And ruined their own damn campaign. Not really, because they just killed everyone the next session anyway, it sounds like.
I mean, I feel like when they admitted that, they should have been a little more apologetic about it, I guess.
They shouldn't have admitted it.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have done it.
I just don't think that I would have.
Two mistakes.
You don't think it's so weird?
Don't own it.
You guys don't think it's so weird for a DM to be like, no, you can't have one last opportunity attack.
I think
that is weird.
Like,
yeah,
why would you
weird.
Want that? Why would
well,
you
they,
make
they
that
they did
up
that
to
because
begin with?
The thing was about to die, and so they wanted stakes, so they wanted it to, like, stab one person. Basically,
but it's so funny to, like, want stakes so bad that you'll lie in the moment, but then come clean after. Like, you're...
Yes, yeah. That's so weird to me.
Don't, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And
if you're,
he'll
like...
just never trust anyone. Yeah. He'll never trust them again.
If you're, like, a new DM or something like that, and, like, you realize, like, oh, I fucked up and I made everything super easy, so I have to like change this thing on the fly. You never tell anyone about it literally ever.
Right. The best way to lie is forever.
Yeah.
That's good.
What your
put that
OC
on a
dwarf
grumpy
says,
t-shirt.
Yeah.
But also it's the weird
That'd be a good sleepy shirt too, because he's lying.
Oh, that's,
literally
there
lying
we go.
Down.
Yeah.
Our sleepy merch is gonna fly out.
This
the
is
shelves.
Sick. Yeah. Is this a sleepy shirt question mark, or is this a lying shirt and it's sleepy taking
Libby.
Yeah. Really good.
Professional liar, and it's a picture of sleep.
Oh, wow. Damn, that's awesome.
That's really strong.
Professional
liar.
She's
a one-woman show, dude.
That's so
it's
fucking
crazy
sick.
How easy it is to come up with merch for other people's property.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they're protective about it for some reason.
So crazy. Do you think, I mean, like, how hard would it be? Because, like, I've been to Disneyland. There's a lot of places where you can kind of, like, hide and sell your merch.
Wait, so,
like,
really?
Well, I mean, like,
no,
so
there
like,
are not.
There's, like, bridges and stuff.
You would that's, get you so would get cut. Out of there.
What do you mean hide
Why
and sell
you
your merch?
Just
sell
it
online.
That's what you
see. The people that get away with it are just, like, selling on Etsy, and they'll just, it'll just
yeah,
be like,
those
people
are
they'll
they're
be like
me.
A mouse ears, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, I like drinking at Epcot.
No, those yeah. people, they don't deserve the money. If you want it, you got to work for it. And that's why you got to go like under the bridge on the way to San Francisco Bay.
Just take you down would there. Literally mm-hmm. go to jail. Like they would take you to
I'd pay
Anaheim
the bail. I'd be
jail.
Fucking rich. I'd be so rich from all the shirts I sold. It'd be fine.
He would be sued and jailed.
You just acted like that was so obvious.
There's so many places to hide.
There's a lot of little nooks.
There's literally nowhere that's
go to
like
Toontown.
Not
you go to Toontown and you hide out in one of those houses. Hide out in the jail in Toontown. Nobody's going to suspect that you're doing things illegal there.
Well, also, you're right, actually, because yeah. who would?
Thank you.
True.
I'm like, here's the thing. Is
I'm on Caldwell's side now.
Oh, okay.
There's easy places to like, you could just like throw all the shirts in the trash quickly and then come back for them later. Because like, you know,
yeah.
they keep it so clean there.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry
true,
about it.
True. Okay. Yeah, we've established that we don't have the internet, so we do need to do, we need to sell our bootleg Disney merch live.
I guess I, like more than owning up to it, I just don't even understand being like, it just doesn't, it
didn't have to happen. Especially, so again, I understand it if you're a new DM and
yeah.
you're kind of like not great at running combat. If you're like, damn, none of my stuff has any stakes and you just have it get like one extra attack off or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this DM, after lying about this, later total party kills the party.
Yeah.
So like presumably their other fights are hard and like balanced in a way that's really difficult. So
yeah.
why
right.
you need to lie about that is weird.
You gotta, I mean, like, hey, if anyone knows, it's us. You gotta take these tiny L's and
yeah.
use them to build yourself a win later on.
Yeah. yeah.
Tiny seriously. L's are just the future win.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you let your caterpillar just get killed, then the TPK later would have been all that much sweeter.
There you go.
But instead you freaking cheated.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think
okay,
they like.
So we have to sentence this DM.
Yes. We're making them a shirt too.
We're making them a shirt.
Oh.
I think right. M the liar shirt.
Yeah.
Professional liar.
Right.
Professional liar. And
that's
that was just a
really
great
good.
Shirt. So it's a pretty
that's
light punishment.
That's just sick. Yeah.
That's just a sick shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. So ordered. And with that, let's step into church with a
let's
confession.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm going to give a brief interlude on the continent of water over here. It has
oh,
been
it is
expanding.
Dissolving. It's not nearly. It now kind of looks like upside down Australia.
Wow.
From your side, it probably looks like
Australia. New campaign, upside down Australia.
The down, upside down, under. Elizabeth writes, to the deacons of the dice, I have a confession request for advice. I was called in as a pinch hitter for the second and final part of a friend of a friend's Call of Cthulhu game based
Whoa.
On a pre-existing module.
So
I killed everyone because that's what my character would do.
That feels like a wild campaign to dip into.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very last minute, within an hour of the session starting, as the original player was unexpectedly unable to attend and the GM needed someone to run this character.
Cool.
I was more than happy to join, but realized after agreeing and receiving my character sheet that this was a module I had read for fun on my own time after playing with this group previously. What would y'all have done in this situation? I didn't reread anything prior to the session, but certain things, including some puzzle answers and crucial plot moments, were stuck in my head. I tried to take a back seat, but there were things my character was uniquely equipped for, and I worry even in trying to be realistic with myself about my own puzzle-solving abilities and what I would have been able to deduce that I may have overestimated and stolen some moments from other players. No one said anything, and everyone seems to have had a good time, with the final battle being appropriately tense and climactic, but I still wonder if I should have been upfront with the GM and the rest of the party about my knowledge.
I don't think puzzles aren't setting up people for moments. Puzzles are a group game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think you need to worry about that.
I think you could have gone to the DM up top and said, hey, I've kind of perused this, so I do know some stuff, so I'm just going to sit back during the puzzles and everything, and I'm just going to help people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what I do when I'm Balnor or something, or like mm-hmm. Kenna, or like a DMPC is like, obviously I know the answers to all my own puzzles. Yeah. So I just have them sit there and they're just like, yeah, I don't know, dude.
But sometimes when you've played a lot of D&D or watched a lot of fantasy, then yeah. like certain puzzles, you're like, I actually kind of know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. And it's so insincere to pretend.
Well, you would know in your heart whether you know that because you're figuring it out or if you remember it. Which could have, I think, all been squared away had you talked to the DM. Yeah.
Right, because I bet nobody would have been like, hey, you read the module, don't bother coming. Yeah. They still needed a player to step in.
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, look, everybody had fun. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, as long as you take this to your grave, this is fine.
Professional liar.
Because ultimately, you did. It sounds like you didn't steal the spotlight or anything. Like you had, you came into this with the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. Like you showed up. You could have said up top, like, "Hey, I kind of already know some of this stuff." But as soon as you didn't do that, you handled it the best that you could, which is to just allow other people to highlight, unless it was like painfully obvious that it's something that your character would have done, in which case you stepped in. Yeah. It's not like you were trying to hog the spotlight. It's not like you were trying to like seem like super clever or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Born to be sleepy, forced to dock in.
Yeah. So we'll do such a light punishment, and let's give you the best liar t-shirt, but we mean it this time.
Oh.
No, or like professional liar,
professional
was it?
Liar. Professional liar. But we'll give you best liar. Mm-hmm.
And it's, nice. And it's sleepy going to sleep.
Yeah.
And we mean best liar, not that you're like really good at manipulation. We just mean like your intentions were good to lie by omission.
It's sleepy in bed and like on his chest. He's fallen asleep reading a copy of this module.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then on the back, it can have best deceptions lyrics from Dashboard Confessional. And it says all the best deceptions and the clever cover story awards go to you.
So kiss me hard, because this will be the last time that I let you.
Good luck again, explaining this shirt at the grocery store.
Well, it's
when the
take...
person checking you out is like, what's that about?
Is that from Dashboard? And then they turn around and they see the front of the shirt. Is that off?
I said I have a coupon for the craft is what I said.
This has also got to be a really long shirt too, right?
Yeah.
Also a tunic. Toes. Sleeveless. Yeah. Alvin down
but
to
it's, a,
your,
it's a gift.
Down to your mid-calf.
It's a gift. Whoa. You can wear it to bed if you want. You also could. Don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sleeping shirt. It's a sleepy.
Yeah.
It's good for fun around the house.
It's just good for good old fun around the house. All right. So forgiven. We're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We've got some fun stuff that we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks. We are going to be doing Gangs of Neo-Galateron. Our next actual play series will be coming out on March 26th.
Yes.
Yeah,
so be on the lookout for that. Mm-hmm. But we're coming back next week with something fun. In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, I would love to. Everybody get ready to roll all 7 of those dwarf dice.
Rolling with the
grumpy, sneezy, dopey, bashful docs. Another one. Dice.
And then my OC tired.
Dungeon.